A miracle happened in my home yesterday. Our Christmas decorations were put up. Don't be jealous. Actually, we had learned a few years ago to do it early, right? But, you know, best laid plans, right? So we looked at our calendar and looked at our lives and realized that yesterday was about the best we could do. And so we pushed through it. It was actually kind of nice. I was talking to some folks about putting up decorations with your children is its own kind of special sort of place, you know, in good ways and in bad ways. So I'll just be honest with you. And so there were some things that we remembered and things that kind of are brought to mind always, those special ornaments. We have ornaments with paws from all the pets that we've had over the years, and it brings tears to my eyes every time. And then there was a few ornaments that my mother made that I just had to kind of excuse myself, you know, sort of like leave the room, spend some time with that. But then there's also the, there are challenges that you need to jump into as a team, that you need that person with you. It would have been great to have the kids a few times yesterday. And certainly, these are trying moments for couples. I am not going to say any more than that. I think you know what I'm saying. It's really trying moments for people who have enough kind of ego about them that think that they can do things on their own. A couple years ago, we bought a new tree. I love this tree because it is already wired, okay? Some of you may have one of those trees where all the wiring is kind of built into the thing, and so you just need to make the right connections. When we were first married, we had a live tree. We gave that a go for a number of years. Love that. If that's what you do, that's beautiful. Gina has this remarkable picture of me taking an axe to that first tree that we had, trying to cut off the bottom of it. She said that I kept missing it enough that there were sparks flying in the air. I'm glad I don't have that picture to show you today. But we have this new tree, this relatively new to us tree, that is lovely. And it is pre-wired, but it comes with its own challenges. One of the things about this tree is that it has tasted blood. Yeah, this is a bloodthirsty tree. Every time I get into it, there's like scratches and like, I think I get it out of the box and he's like, "Hello, Bert." I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting all year. So the way that the tree works is that it comes in three sections. Maybe you have one like this. And you take the bottom section and you have to align the middle section just right because there's an electrical connection involved. Some of you are shaking your head. You know this. Now the problem with that is that if you don't get that electrical connection just right, words that are really ugly are going to start flowing from your heart and then your mouth. Really hard feelings about some Christmas tree engineer somewhere else with the beautiful but horrible idea of putting those that way. And so if you're doing it by yourself, you don't recognize that there are these arrows that point to how you're supposed to put it together. Maybe yours don't. Mine came with arrows, but do I remember that? No, because I've lost so much blood in the process of dealing with this tree. So there's these two arrows that kind of point to each other, and that's how you, but if you're standing in the air with your hands around the throat of that tree and being scratched up in the whole process of it, you're not going to see those arrows, right? And so my wife stood there for a while and said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "I'm fine." And we kind of came to the remembrance that we have each other to work with. So she helped me, and I helped her, and together, with a reduction of cursing, we got the tree together. I'm so thankful that there are people in my life that can help me with the things that I need help. And I am also very thankful that there are people in my life that I can kind of be there for, to offer support when they need me. Our daughter this week was working through, a really tough moment in her life. And thankfully, she knew to call her mom. Dad got looped in. But the three of us started working through this, and it took us 2 days to kind of like... Now, I've been in situations where I've attempted again and again to try to, push through, to muster my own way through things, and have found myself, sometimes doing okay, but a lot of times... We are built to be social creatures. We are created not to live in isolation or to live dispatched from each other. This is why we spent so much time in the fall talking about the need for kindness, because we need each other. We're fundamentally connected with each other. I mean, if you look at the science on this, in fact, let's do that. There is a really well thought of anthropologist named Augustine Fuentes, who, in reflection on what happened with COVID, do y'all remember COVID? Just a little bit. One of the number one things that people, for a while there in 2020, one of the number one things people said they missed was hugging, right? We are so pulled apart and so disconnected. And reflecting on this and the science, Fuentes writes this: humans are never really alone. Even when we're by ourselves spatially, like sitting in a room, our thoughts are filled with each other's. Our bodies are even potentially carrying the cells of other people and a variety of other things. So we are always thinking with and about other people, even when we're not with them. In fact, our resting neurobiological state, like when you're at complete rest, the default state of the brain still is social. It's thinking about connections. It's in the same one that turns, that same brain that turns for social interactions. So that means that in our evolutionary time, the bodies, the structures of being human, have adapted to and integrated themselves into the system where the social is everything. The psychologist Tomasello says this great phrase: a fish is born expecting water. A human is born expecting culture. Where's my mama? Where's my support system? What are they saying? And how do I get in on the party? And so if we step out and we think of the culture, the social, and all the dynamics as water we live in and breathe in and move in, and how it shapes us and how we shape it, then statements like that make total sense. In this story that I read for you, the very vital nature of that connection, that is formed not even by blood, that very vital connection that is between Naomi, Mara, and Ruth. And think about it. And some of you know this story. It's a short book. You should read this. Go home this afternoon and finish it out. Because what happens is this family is doing okay by the standards of everybody else at the time. There is a famine. They move away. They migrate. They immigrate to be able to find adequate resources for themselves. They develop a life. They develop a family. People get older. People die. And then there is this brokenness that occurs right from deaths. Now, Naomi has these two daughter-in-laws in tow, but she is also dealing, all of them really, are dealing with the fact that they're women. And women in this culture and at this time have no standing whatsoever. They are extraordinarily vulnerable. And they are at risk of being certainly abused and certainly even starving. So everything that Naomi had that she thought of as steady and stable and connected, gone. Except for these two young women. Now, they have a little bit of a hope because they're young enough to take husbands again. I'm sorry, I'm not advocating for this is the way things should work socially within life. But culturally and circumstantially, historically at that time, they're in big trouble. And she says, you can take husbands again, please, thank you, but please. This is, you know, the Lord has done something terrible to me. Get away. One of them does. I can't blame her because the circumstances are extraordinarily dire. And then there's Ruth. Ruth says, not doing it. I don't know why. She doesn't say why, other than you are my connection and we're going to do this. She sticks with her. There are people in their life that sticks with us. Now, I want you to notice that when Ruth sticks with Naomi, she's sticking with a person who is not going to be able to, like, take care of her. They can guess at what they will find back in Bethlehem. And they're not expecting what happens. No one is looking at that going, oh man, this is going to work out really, really well. Now, things do proceed. And if you want to know more about that, go home and read the book, right? Naomi is so brokenhearted about the thing, she changes her name to Bitter. That's what Mara means. My name is Bitter Sorrow. And Ruth, coming alongside. When we have found ourselves in that bitter place, in that horrible place, that hard-to-manage place, the thing that I have to remember, and I invite you to remember, is that you're not alone. Many of us have people like my wife who will lovingly, patiently kind of help me not, you know, chew up my hands with the Christmas tree. Or will walk beside me in my grief from losing a friend or a family member. Or who will take those steps, even if I push them away and say, you know what, this is not good for you, go away. They stick right there with you. And Jesus is exactly like that. We might think, oh, I am forsaken. I have been let go. You don't know what I've done. I've done some pretty bad things. I'm a terrible person. And still Jesus recognizes you as much more than that. In spite of what you may have done or may have not done or think you have done or believe you deserve. God gives us these connections with our neighbors. God gives us connections with God. And that is the story of Christmas. Right? You're such a mess. I'm going to come hang out with you. You are such a mess. I'm going to make a way for you to move forward in life, even centuries into the future. You are such a mess, and still, I love you, and you do not have to do this. You do not have to do this alone. I'm going to end with two things. One is something I ran across on social media this week. Can you believe it? Social media actually can have good things. And I was surprised by this and thought it was helpful. We have talked about things that are oftentimes, the scriptures that we've read today are oftentimes ones that show up at weddings, including this one that I'm going to paraphrase here, the 1 Corinthians 13. Some of you know this as, oh, that's the wedding verse, right? Let me read this for you in a Christmas way, and then I have a blessing as your homework. A Christmas version of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows, strands of twinkling lights, and shining balls, but do not show love to my family, I am just another decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, oh, Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals and arranging a beautifully adorned table at mealtime, but do not show love to my family, I am just another cook. If I work at the soup kitchen, carol in the nursing home, and give it all that I have, to charity, but do not show love, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and crocheted snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties, and sing in the choir's Christmas cantata, oh my, but do not focus on those I love and those who are in need of love, I have missed the point. In other words, love stops the cooking to hug a child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the spouse. Love is kind, though harried and tired. Love doesn't envy another's home that has coordinated Christmas china and table linens. Love doesn't yell at the kids to get out of the way, as tempting as it would be, but is thankful that they are there anyway. To be in the way. Love doesn't give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who cannot. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Video games will break. Pearl necklaces will be lost. Golf clubs will rust. But the gift of love will endure. Your homework and blessing is this. Beloved, you are not alone on this winding journey. May the companionship of fellow sojourners reflect the love of the one who, in becoming flesh, chose to journey alongside of us. May the quilt of life warm you from the chill of isolation, and may the Spirit move you to compassion as you cultivate community, even in times of uncertainty. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.